Today on Real Radio.
The Bible tells us, God tells us, that we are to be living for His glory, not our own glory. And yet the world glorifies the glory of man. And have we not learned yet, living this close to Hollywood, that there's nothing lasting that comes out of that mess? But we want to know what they wear and what they say and what they're doing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this epistle, but for the past several broadcasts, Pastor Jack has been bringing us a new series within a series that focuses on parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's all about the scriptural worldview of giving, and we're not dealing with the giving of money only. It could be time, maybe talent, as well as treasure, and we are to give with a cheerful heart, as the Bible says. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his multi-part series called Giving What's Been Given.
That as we go through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through this book of the Bible, Paul has covered a lot of topics to his writings to the believers in Corinth, Greece. But now he's come, these last few weeks he's come to that place of speaking about the Corinthians and their giving. So I say that carefully because, again, if you're visiting for the first time, we don't give sermons on tithing and giving. That's between you and God. But we must go verse by verse through the Bible. That's commanded of us. The prophet Isaiah spoke and said that we are to be going through the Word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line. And that is a reference to Isaiah's method of teaching the Israelites. And they made fun of Isaiah. They said, you know, we're sick of hearing what you have to say because you go through the Word of God, line by line, precept upon precept. And that's exactly what God had called Isaiah to do, and it's exactly what God has called every New Testament church to do, is to go through the Bible. Why do I say all this? Because I'm so careful that you don't leave this place today saying, well, you know, all that church does is talk about money. We never talk about money. We haven't talked about it in 23 years. But in the last few weeks, we have, because why? We're in chapters 8 and 9 that deal with giving. And I challenge you guys in the first week to not think only dollars. We're so limited in our way of thinking, dollars. Don't think dollars. God is speaking to the believer today, and he's talking about everything that you possess at your trust or your care. Everything. Time, energy, passion, your loves, money, cars, toys, for the little ones in here, or maybe for the big ones in here too. Whatever you have is God's. The very breath we're drawing in and out is God's. The heart beating, the electrical field that surrounds your very existence that causes all of the incredible biological operations to take place, that magical, mysterious electrical pattern of a human being. Did you know that? We are electrical creatures. Have you ever seen the movies when people like faint, die, pass out, or their heart stops, the guy grabs the defibrillator, remember that? And they go, clear! Poof! What do? They send a volt of electricity through your body to get it going right again. Why? Because you are an electrically created creature. You have electrical operations to your very body. The chemicals in your body. Everything that you and I have learned to take for granted by God's faithfulness, it all belongs to Him. It is amazing to think how dependent we are upon God. Absolutely awesome. So listen, as we get into the finishing of this chapter, I want you to remember a couple of verses that we've brought up over the course of our studies these last few weeks. Number one, before we get into it, is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. All those things happen, and it's the truth. He did say in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, verse 21, there your heart will be also. Every one of us knows exactly the truth about what Jesus is saying. Wherever our hearts are at, whatever your heart is assigned to, Whatever your heart lives for, that's your treasure. It could be anything. Could be anybody. Could be anything at all. All of our personal giftings as humans, by the way, our talents, our influences, the abilities that you and I have are all God-given tools that God has loaned you and I for one purpose, His glory. Did you know, as a human being, you've been created in the image of God, and you are to live for the glory of God. Now today, you say, yeah, amen. And some of you say, that stinks. Why would that stink? Because you want to live for yourself, right? You either want to live for yourself or you want to live for God. We either live for our own gratification or God's glorification. By the way, the only way to be really happy in life is to choose the latter. God, living for God's glorification makes you happy. It's the way He designed us. Did you see this week? It was so embarrassing. It was almost a commentary on America and where we're at as a culture. There was, on MSNBC, they were interviewing a senator or a congressman regarding the state of the nation. Don't you think that's kind of serious? The state of the nation? And they interrupted the interview to break in upon the interview because Justin Bieber just made some news. Sorry, Senator. The state of the nation's got a hold for a moment. Justin Bieber just did something somewhere in the world right now. We need to find out about that. What a commentary on our values. The Bible tells us, God tells us, that we are to be living for His glory, not our own glory. And yet the world glorifies the glory of man. And have we not learned yet, living this close to Hollywood, that there's nothing lasting that comes out of that mess, but we want to know what they wear and what they say and what they're doing? I don't think so. We need to remember what God wants us to do. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." All of his resources. Jesus is speaking about his Father, and he's speaking about himself, that he was going to leave to us a trust. And to one he gave five talents. That's not like the guy knew how to play the drums, sing, and that's not what that means, talents. It means that five abilities by which he can influence. To another he gave two, and to another he gave one, to each according to his own ability. That is so key. And immediately he, Jesus speaking of himself, went on a journey. That is, he went back to heaven. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded them and made another five talents. So now the guy's got 10. And likewise, he who had received two went and got two more. So now he's got four. But he who had received one talent dug a hole and put it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And you know the end of that parable, that what you have in life, God is expecting you to use for the kingdom's glory. No matter what it is. It's the totality of you and I. Having said that, follow now with me, beginning at verse 10, chapter 8. Paul says to the Corinthian church, "And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage," that's the Corinthians, "not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago," so they'd been talking about giving to the church at Jerusalem for a long time, "but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be completion," performance, "out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have." Verse 13, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by inequality. That now at this time your abundance," the Corinthian church had a lot of stuff, "may supply their lack." The church in Jerusalem was completely broke. "That their abundance also may supply your lack, that they may be equality. As it is written," and now he quotes Exodus, "He who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack." Verse 16, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the heart of Titus." Remember who Titus is, you guys? He's the FedEx UPS guy for getting help to the Jerusalem church. "For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. That's his own deciding. He said, I want to serve too. And we went and sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who is also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift. We don't know who this brother is, by the way. He's just mentioning that there's a second brother, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show you a ready mind, your ready mind. Verse 20, avoiding this is cool, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with him our brother, this is a third partner now with Titus, we don't know who this guy is either, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more faithfully committed or serious about it, because of the great confidence which we have in you. Verse 23, if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, the other two guys, they are messengers of the churches. That's cool. UPS servants. The glory of Christ, therefore show them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of your boasting on our behalf. Big, huge statements. We'll go through it like this. Mark it down. Giving what's been given is the title of this little mini-series that comes out of this chapter. And we look now, we pick it up in our march through this, we pick it up with this. The first point is found in verses 10 to 12. The arguments are broken up in sections. Number one is a heart check. Will you write that down? There's a heart check that you and I are to go through regarding our willingness, that is, to cooperate with God. So that is in verses 10 to 12. And as we look at this, keep this in mind. 1 year earlier, you're reading about it. It's amazing. We're reading somebody else's mail right now. It's 2,000 years old. Paul is saying, 1 year ago, Corinthians, you guys said that you were going to help the church in Jerusalem. 1 year had passed. Remember that now. They had a false start. They said, we'll help. But they didn't follow through. We make that oath. We make that pledge. They said, we'll get involved. They never did. They signed up, but they never showed up, so to speak. And so when Paul says in verse 10, and I give this advice, he is saying this. That in light of everything that we've just said, church, go back a little bit in your Bible. Look at verse 9 from last week. It is key to understanding everything about who you and I are as believers when it comes to giving. Why should we be a giving people to those around us, to those in need? Verse 9 is the foundation for it all. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, and that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus gives all. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Absolutely true. Jesus gives all, and absolutely preeminently is the fact that he gave us salvation. Jesus not only gives you and I breath, he gives us food, he gives us protection, he gives us life, but he gives us eternal life. It's Jesus who left heaven and came to us and died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that through him we have salvation and there is no heaven without him. It's Jesus. He was rich, that is, he possessed heaven, and he set that aside and came to earth to die for us. There is a great difference, Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians, from promising something and performing something. We all know that, right? The promising versus the performing. Be careful when you make promises, because if you fail in a promise, ladies and gentlemen, you've dug yourself a big hole. Look, I'm not here to bash anybody, but I got to tell you, if you know history, I love studying history. You can make promises and run a campaign and you can win an election. But when time comes to perform, and if you don't perform, you have set yourself up for profound failure. And we see that happening today in America. Politicians will make promises that they can't fulfill. That's a dangerous thing. Listen, I'm going to draw a contrast here. When you come in and you say you're going to save the world and save the nation and save everything about the country, and then you don't perform, you've set yourself high up on a ladder and it's a long way down. This is human nature. This is not independent or Republican Party or Democrat. It's true, period. If a father or a husband makes profound promises and fails. That's a long way to fall. What's my contrast? Jesus never fails. This book is the promise book. God makes you eternal promises. Guess what? He keeps every one of them. He has never, he is not, nor shall he ever break any of his promises. Isn't that awesome? Do you know his promises? We are commanded to know them. In fact, he wants us to even take his promises and reiterate or to utter them back to him in our statements. Lord, you promised, and he loves that. It's kind of like a little kid. Now look, we all love our children growing them up, and we love them. And they say, Daddy, you promised. And you go, oh, right. And you perform the promise, right? Now look, I have grandkids. So my thing now is for the grandkids, I want my grandkids to come and have me set myself up for a promise. Why? Because I can't wait to perform it. In fact, I'll even bait them to ask me for a promise, knowing that I'll crawl across this country on glass to fulfill the promise. Why? Because they're my grandkids. I mean, kids, you love kids. They're great. You love your kids. But it ain't nothing compared to how you love your grandkids. What do you think they call them grandkids for? It's amazing. Think about God, how he wants to bless you with all the promises that he's made in the scripture. Are you going through a hardship? Is there a broken life, a broken home? Is there a death in your family? What's going on? The dynamic. God has made you promises specifically for that thing you're going through. It is, listen, God is not going to just drop them out of the heavens and hit you on the head with his promises. God expects you to pick up a Bible and read his promises. Well, I don't hear God speaking to me. When somebody says that, we all know one thing. That person's not in the Word of God. Because when you're in the Word, I can't explain it, but boy, is it awesome. How you've got this trauma, you've got this issue of your life, you've got this pain and difficulty going on in your life, and you pick up the Bible, you start reading it, and God answers from his Word. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that can compare. And by the way, when that happens, there's nothing that can take that promise away from you. Because it is divinely given. It is awesome. A willingness to get involved and to be involved in what God wants you to do. And the church in Corinth was willing, but they never stepped through with the performance. And so that's a very, very serious thing. And he's telling them that giving, what's been given, is a manifestation of their act of willingness. You can talk about helping, but you got to get involved. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you. God is in the believer at work, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God wants to take your life and use you to help this person over here. How cool is that? You say, well, I don't really like that. That's because you're selfish. That's because you're self-centered. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, give it up. Don't we all know that's true, right? Do you ever think about you? We all think about us. People say, well, I went to a class, I went to a seminar about how to learn how to love yourself. That is the problem with the world. We all love ourselves more than we love others. The Bible tells us that's where wars come from. Our own desires to heap things up to ourselves. We love each other, we love ourselves, I should say, too much. What we need to do is love God the most. And then God says, that's cool. If you love me, go over there and help that guy right there. And in that, you find fulfillment. You guys, our next door neighbor, they were on vacation this last week, and we got to watch their gigantic brown Labrador. His name's Hurley. And he loves the water. And he's so cool. And you know what? He kind of walks around. He's there. You know, it's cool. You're relating to him. Hey, Hurley, how are you? And his tail, he's big. He's big, and he wags his tail. The tail starts wagging first, and then the whole thing, the whole body starts wagging. And it's so cute, and he's like this. And he's happy. But you know when I discovered when he's really joyful? When I pick up the ball. And when I throw the ball, he's very, very happy, and you should see him. When he comes back, I should have video recorded this and showed you today in church. Because he's happy, but when he comes back and he sets the ball down at my foot, you should see the smile on that dog's face. His eyes are lit up. He's so happy. And if you know what I'm talking about, why is that true about that dog? Because he is in the class of what's called working dogs. They're not happy unless they're working. And a Christian has been saved and is going to heaven. So what do we do until then? It is God at work in you to do what his will is, and he wants to use you. And so you and I are like working dogs. It's like, oh, yes, Lord. What do you want to do next? It's such an exciting way to live. The Bible tells us here in verse 12 that there must first be a willing mind. And he says that it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. The word mind here, first a willing mind, the word means a predisposition. It's preset in the believer's mind. The word means a forward thinking of the mind. The word means to have a mindset on, listen, readiness. It's a military term. A mind that is on alert for a need. I love the meaning of that Greek word in the original Bible. Have your mind as a believer in gear, ready to meet a need. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Well, that's the kind of mind we're supposed to have. Our minds are supposed to be constantly in gear, waiting to meet a need that arises. Now, this is critical. The Corinthian church was aware of some needs, and they didn't act and fill those needs. Question to you. Do you know of any needs? If you do, let's ask this question. Why do you know those needs or that need? Why? Why is it that you know about it and your neighbor doesn't know about it? Answer, God wanted you to know about it because you raised your hand a moment ago that you're a Christian. God says, great, you're a Christian. You can raise your hand. Now take that hand with the need you know about and do something about it. That's Christianity. The history of Christianity is awesome. We build universities. You know, they're kind of like called Yale, Harvard, Cornell, Princeton. You ever heard of those schools before? We build hospitals around the world for 2,000 years. It's not only what Christianity says, that doesn't benefit anybody about what it says. What Christianity does by benefiting people is that it does what it says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. It's a multi-part series taken from parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians on the all-important topic of giving. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we're getting a lot of responses from Real Radio listeners on this series, so that's why we're making it available for you on DVD. Now, it's a 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. You know, a lot of folks, friends of the ministry and Real Radio listeners have called in saying this really is quite a valuable and biblically based treatment of this topic of, well, just that, giving. And they're sharing it with friends, family, and their local church, and that's why we're continuing to make it available just for you. So here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. I'll say that again. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been hearing right here on Real Radio. So call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention that title, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, just ask for it by name when you write to us, Tools, Giving What's Been Given, and send it to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.